But it's time now to bring in Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram, fresh off his trip down to New Orleans. A very well-deserved vacation for you, sir. Great to have you on. And again, Dave appears weekly thanks to our good friends at Vandemark Jewelers. Stop by and say hi to Jim and Bob and the entire gang down at Vandemark Jewelers. They are a trusted name in jewelry, and if you stop by, you will see why. Dave, how are you?
Oh, it's been a weekend and a busy start to the week.
Very much so, it sounds like. And well, I think you were out of town when we found out on Friday about Oberlin College having to pay Gibson's just over $11 million. And you have been very, very busy all afternoon, kind of dealing with, well, what's left over from all of that, a couple buildings away here at the Justice Center here in downtown Elyria. What were some of the things that you witnessed earlier today?
So basically, as I'm sure many of the listeners know, Oberlin College was, lost their case in front of the jury. The jury awarded a little more than $11 million in compensatory damages. You're going to hear that phrase a lot in the next couple of days. Both read it in the Chronicle and hear it here on air. But they awarded 11.4, I believe, or 11.2. So $11 million and some change in compensatory damages to the Gibson family, the Gibson's Bakery. Now what happens is because they separated out the compensatory damages angle and what are called punitive damages, which punish and are meant to deter future behavior of the same kind, which are meant to show society, as one of the attorneys put it today, societal disapproval of the actions of a party that was found liable to another party for those damages. And again, pardon me if it gets a little too legalese here, but I'm working through that, and I'm going to try to explain it to everybody in the paper tomorrow. But basically, they were trying to decide punitive damages today. Well, the jury never even got into the courtroom because there was a lot of legal wrangling going on, motions back and forth from the plaintiffs and the defendants. You will read about this tomorrow, but the Oberlin College attorneys asked for a mistrial and a new trial. Whether or not Judge John Moraldi will rule one way or the other on that, I can't say. All I know on that point is that the end of this case continues tomorrow at 10 a.m. So we shall see how he rules on all these motions that were flying about the courtroom today, and it is real complicated stuff. And there's a lot of case law that backs it up. There's a lot of state law that backs it up. The Gibsons could stand to get another 20, possibly $22 million in punitive damages, because punitive damages are capped at 2 times the compensatory damages. So 11 million times 2, 22, 11 plus 22, 33, and again, approaching 33 and a half. So we shall see how Judge Moraldi handles this in his courtroom. Again, there's an awful lot of attorneys in there making an awful lot of arguments. It was a crowded courtroom, a lot of media, a lot of interested parties from Oberlin, from Lorain County, from the surrounding area, looking to see, what's going to happen here. And it will almost certainly be appealed no matter what the final decision is, on legal basis and on, and perhaps on the awards basis as well. Again, I'm no attorney, but that's the kind of thing that I've seen in these cases in the past.
So this thing is far from over, is what you're saying.
is it short and sweet and to the point, Bull, as always. Yes, this is not over yet.
Yes, it seems as though it's a long ways from the finish line. And while we're on that topic, my friend, a long ways from the finish line, we do know Joe Kozura is the new interim mayor of Lorain. And boy, this process has been very, very strange. And I mean, it just gets more bizarre by the day. I mean, you have those that look like they're interested, then they pull out because they think it's a circus. There are others that were running just to kind of make a point. It's just been such a weird process since former Mayor Chase Rittenour stepped down, and this whole story just gets crazier and crazier.
And that's the thing too, is that Mayor Rittenour announced his intention to resign as mayor on May 10th, shortly after the primary was over, and he had filed for the primary race to retain his seat, and then said, "Well, I'm going to go take this new job in Illinois, and we wish him well." But that leaves you with an open mayor's seat. Now, currently, the interim mayor of the city of Lorain is Yoel Arredondo, and he's there until on Sunday. The Central Committee of the Lorain City Democratic Party got together to choose from anyone who was nominated from within the Central Committee. Any of the Central Committee members could nominate and second a person to stand as the interim mayor through the remainder of Chase Rittenour's term, which is December 31st. So for the next 6 months, there will be a different mayor. And that's how where Joe Kazur was chosen. Now, Mr. Arredondo, Councilwoman Mary Springowski, and Mr. Kazura, who stood at the very last minute, basically. He even told me after his after he was chosen that he said, you know, real late in this process, I said, I'm gonna throw my hat in the ring. I'm gonna put my name in to do this. And he has been mayor before. He's mayor from 1996 to 1999, served in the Ohio House of Representatives, and for the past, I believe, several terms has served as an at-large councilman. I can't tell you exactly how many terms. I believe it's three. But he has served as a councilman for a spell now. But he also lost in the primary running for an at-large council seat. So he is no longer on council, or would no longer be on council by the end of the year. But now he's mayor until the end of the year. And he also said, I'm only mayor until the Lorain City Democrats sit down and choose somebody to run in the general election in November. Very convoluted situation. A lot of it has to do with this so-called sore loser provision of the law, which says if you stand for election in the primary and you lose, you cannot then stand for another seat, a different position in the general election in November, in the following general election. So that's very complicated. That cut out Mary Springowski and four other people from a field of six, which included Dan Ramos. Now, Dan Ramos has since dropped out of the race, calling it a circus. Mary Springowski's father has jumped in and thrown his hat in the ring, but said, if I am elected, I will not serve and I will resign immediately after being elected. And I think Anthony Giardini from the Board of Elections, a Democrat on the Board of Elections, said it best. He said our entire A team was knocked out. All the people that we were gonna push, you know, or that our party should have pushed for to run, to be appointed mayor are now out of it, and Tony DiMacchio among them, and a few others as well. So it has been a week of just incredible legal education for myself, my colleagues, and the people of Lorain County into how things work. And this is a very obscure law, this sore loser provision, which I'm told arose out of a situation that happened in Elyria some years ago. I'll try to find more on that, but it is a very very complicated legal situation as things stand today. But congratulations to Joe Kazura. He was very genial, very welcoming, thanked everybody. Mary Springowski's supporters were not pleased by his selection, feeling that the voters had spoken and said, we don't want Mr. Kazura on council anymore. And yet Mary Springowski cannot stand for mayor in the general because she's been knocked out. She can't serve because she was chosen as one of the three seats for an at-large seat. So it's very complicated, and please bear with us as we try to explain it to you.
Yes. Well, when you're talking about legalities, I mean, there's a lot of language in there I think a lot of folks don't understand, but I think you summed that up pretty well.
I tried
question.
My best.
No, you did. Well, one of these days, we're going to come back around to Council okaying some money for new computers and also some construction that might be done to the playground on the south and east end of Recreation Park. We'll come back to that a little bit later on today. We are almost out of time, but we can't end the session with Dave O'Brien without talking about some scanner stories. Now, I know you were gone for a few days, and, well, I found one that I wanted to come right back and and discuss with you. And you and I kind of laughed at it over the weekend. And, you know, why is it that some of these crazy things happen in Florida? Why? I mean,
is it the heat? Is it the water? Is it aliens? I don't know. I truly don't know. But if you check out some of these feeds that are, include Florida Man, I think at Florida Man Stories is a Twitter feed. What was the one? I know you'll have to pardon me because my head's so full of legalese right now.
I'll run through this pretty quickly. Nude Florida man accused of flinging his urine at cops.
Ah, yes.
It's just, like I say, you don't hear about that happening at many other places, but it seems like it happens in Florida all the time.
Maybe our attention is just so laser focused on Florida as kind of the center of crazy news these days. I know that my colleague colleague Josh Mankiewicz from Dateline NBC had I believe retweeted that one over the weekend, and I was he tends to find these things quite frequently, and if you don't follow him, give him a follow because you'll get a lot of awfully weird Florida stories. I don't know why it is. It's a diverse population. It's got its own diverse and unique problems and strange quirks of news. But there's also a game that myself and some of my colleagues play called Florida or Ohio. Because it seems that it's either a Florida man or an Ohio man, or a Florida woman or an Ohio woman that you find at the center of many of these very, very strange news stories. So.
Strange stuff. But we know that you had to do some running in order to get over here today, my friends. We appreciate the time as always, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Hey, happy to do it anytime I can try to explain the news to you.